We serve a very humorous God. How many know He's humorous? Turn to somebody and say, God is humorous. He is. I mean, last night it was kind of funny. We had some obligations that we did, and I'd come home, and I knew I had some extra studying to do, and we came home, and there was no electricity. So that kind of did my study in, because I use a lot of electronics to study nowadays, and they weren't available to me. And so I thought I'd wait until we receive lights again. And in the midst of all that, I fell asleep. And so I got up extra early this morning and worked for about 5 hours preparing. And then today happened. How many know we received some good messages this morning? Received some good stuff. So I'm just going to take a very few minutes of your time. More of an exhortation than a message. It can wait. We'll do the message another time. Praise God. But if you have your Bibles this morning, would you be so kind as to turn to Psalm chapter 40, Psalm 40. And as I was listening to Hannah this morning and given all the prophetic words and the sharing that various people have done, the Lord began to lay Psalm 40 on me, and I said, Lord, a couple of years ago, the same thing happened. We were meeting in the gymnasium, and I shared from Psalm 40, and I said, do you really want me to do this again? And he said, yes. And the main thing that I felt the Lord say is Psalm 40 has been prayed by literally probably millions of people this last couple of weeks because they were asked to pray for Judge Kavanaugh and his wife and family. And so this prayer has been lifted up to the Lord, and it's the atmosphere is full of this cry. And so I just wanted to share it with you this morning, and echoing what Steve said in opening, we are in a very precarious time in this nation. And we're in a very successful time. 50-48, Judge Kavanaugh was voted, and he is now one of our justices on the Supreme Court. And so if anybody else saw anything, if you saw videos or if you saw the news, you saw a very distraught and downtrodden Democrats. And because they were totally surprised for the second time in 2 years. And I think that from what I'm sensing from the Lord, they're going to be surprised in 4 weeks, a little less than 4 weeks now. Is it 4 or 5 weeks? And I encourage you, as was said, please vote. It's very important that we vote this time. It's probably one of the most important votes that we can have. Because if the Senate becomes Democrat-controlled, they'll do everything they can to offset what God did by placing Judge Kavanaugh there. I think that we are for the first time in my lifetime seeing the end of legalized abortion. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe that, and I'm confessing, and I want you to confess with me that that is indeed going to happen. And it will be such a groundswell of change in this nation that the reaction is going to be somewhat alarming to us. But God has been ministering to me about the anger that the unbeliever will show will lead them to the cross. Because the answers have not been forthcoming in this postmodern age that we're living in. You know, the thing that says there's no truth, there's no absolute truth, that my truth and your truth can be different and we can still exist together. How many know there can only be one truth? And so what is going to develop in the next few months and the next year especially, a lot of anger coming from people. But God has been ministering to me not to be distraught or upset because of it, because Jesus said he'd rather have us hot or cold. And when they're hot and they're angered, they're going to hear. They're going to hear. Truth will prevail. How many know? God said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And his word not passing away is relevant after the end of the age, because it'll carry on into eternity. But as relevant as it was and it is then, it will be now. Now his word needs to come to pass. Now his truth needs to come to pass. Because we're in a generation that absolutely has turned their back on truth. And we need to remember who we are in Jesus Christ. We are lights to this world. And we can't leave the responsibility for sharing God's word up to just a few people. All of us got to be ready to share God's word. Absolutely necessary. The psalmist, the backdrop of David sharing what he shared here in Psalm 40 is absolutely amazing to me. David was a man after God's own heart. God said he was a man after his heart. Jesus was born in the lineage of David. But how many know David did not have an easy time of it? We like to think of him on the mountaintops killing the giants, and David slayed his 10,000, or Saul slayed his thousands, and David his 10,000. We like to see him as a warrior, as a great king. But how many know for 13 years he feared for his life every day? How many know he hid in a cave? And then to add insult to injury, God sent him a bunch of deadbeats. He did. He sent him a bunch of people that were distraught, downtrodden, and in debt, scared. And God said, here, I'll give you some comfort. How many know I wouldn't want that kind of comfort? So we get a backdrop of Psalm 40. Psalm 40 is not written by a man that didn't understand that sometimes everything was gone. How many know living in a cave with a bunch of deadbeats is not exactly the most exhilarating thing to help you be an author? But he said this. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. And I want to encourage you this morning. Some of you have been praying a long time. Some of you are distraught. Some of you are discouraged. Some of you are downtrodden. You say, God, when are you going to answer my prayer? You hang on. Amen. You hang on. God will answer your prayer. Amen. He'll answer your prayer. He's faithful. Yes. He's faithful. I know one thing about God. He's faithful. But that patient, how many know? We all have different definitions of patience. You know, some of us have patience that's long, and others patience this long, and others don't have patience at all. Come on. I've got a little sign on my desk that says, give me patience and give it to me right now. I'm one that doesn't have a long patience. But I've learned over the years that I've got to be patient. I don't have any other choice, because I'm not going to move God's plan that he has for my life by complaining. David understood when he had hands laid on him and he was set in as king, he understood that that was God that called him. But it was 13 years before it was realized, and then he had all kinds of hassles as a king. Then he says this, he said, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. He remembered where he was lifted from. Now, what will add to our patience is our remembrance of where we came from. That will add to the patience of what God is doing in your life. Because what would happen if you didn't know God? He brought us up out of a horrible pit and out of a miry clay. He was faithful. Turn to somebody and said, God's been faithful to me. Imagine where we'd be. David remembered. Remembrance feeds patience. We don't remember the terrible things. We don't remember the sin. We don't remember all of that's in the sea of forgetfulness. But we remember the direction we were headed was south. I was breaking the gates of hell wide open, man. And God stopped me and saved me and turned me around. David understood. David understood this when he was writing. You can almost have him go back to all those times, whatever he was going through as a shepherd boy, wherever he was going through as killing the lion and the bear, whatever he was going through when Saul chased him, whatever he was going through. He said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit where death was staring him in the face. Many times we think in our pea brains that God doesn't understand and God doesn't hear. Listen, he understands everything and hears everything. And not only what he did, but what he does. He said he's put a new song in my mouth in verse 3. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. God is faithful to put a new song in your mouth. God is faithful to give you the good things of his kingdom. Every day, all we have to do is recognize. Too often, we look at the circumstances around us and it's the circumstances drowned out what God supplied for us. Come on, somebody. When I was growing up, it didn't matter what we had in the house. Mom always had breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Always. Sometimes it was slop, but we had it. Come on, somebody. She always provided for us. How much more does God provide for us? We say, well, I haven't heard from God. I don't know what God's saying. You can believe it when you wake up in the morning, God is ministering to your heart. Why? Because you're his child. Amen. You just need to listen. Incline your ear to what he's saying. He said, he put a new song in my mouth. Then he begins to pontificate in verse 4. He begins to start rejoicing. You can almost see him do the Pentecostal dance there. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Right. Lean not on your own understanding. Right. See, we blame others, but the reality is we're either trusting God or trusting ourselves. And every time I trust myself, I fall flat on my butt. Come on, someone. Are you there with me? Every time I trust myself, every time I forget to trust God, I fall flat on my face. David he's beginning to preach, man. He's saying, God is my trust. He does not respect the proud nor lapse into falsehood or nor such as turn aside to lies, the New King James says. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done. Start to make a list of what God's done for you and it will get rid of the funk. It will get rid of the impatience. It will get rid of the doubt and unbelief. What has God done in your life? He sustained you. He supplied for you. He's blessed you. People say, you know, the Word of God is closed to me. The Word of God need not be closed to you because God is teaching you every time you pick it up and read it. Come on, somebody. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done. You can contemplate your way out of sadness and being distraught and worried and concerned and doubtful. God is there, man. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. David, in the midst of his tears, in the midst of his crying, in the midst of his trying to save his own life, you can almost hear this cry. It's something that is can only be burst in the crucible of trial and testing. Can only be birthed in those. Thank God for the testings and the trials. Because we know how faithful God can be. Lexi in her cry this morning, I need prayer, I need this. And she's going to learn in that prayer, in that how faithful God is in her body. She's going to learn that. He's faithful. And then he begins to talk about the intimacy with how God loves us. My wife and I often talk to each other during the day, and we say that we're just thinking of you. And oftentimes I'll call her and she'll say, I'm just thinking of you. Or I'll text her, and we've got these little, what do they call them, memes or whatever? Emojis or whatever. And so we made little emojis that we back and forth to each other, and we're thinking of each other all the time. I've been with her so long that if I'm experiencing something, I immediately want to share it with her because she's part of me. And if I would count my thoughts toward her during the day, I wouldn't get anything else done. But do you know that God thinks of you all the time? God has thoughts toward you. The scriptures say, and David said, the thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered.
Hallelujah.
He actually loves you, can you imagine? Say, how could he love me? I'm having a bad day. He loves you. And every time he has a thought, he wants to share it with you. How many know God has lots of thoughts? I've said enough. God is so faithful. And in this day, in this hour, we just need to reach into where God is ministering to us in our hearts and be strong. Hold steady during this time. There's going to be a lot of shaking going on. There already has been, and there's going to be more. I wish I could tell you there wasn't. But everything, Hebrews says, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. That which cannot be shaken may remain. Come on, somebody. It's got to be tested. Like I said a couple of weeks ago with that mattress, with that thing coming down, you know, the valve hitting the mattress. It's been tested. Your faith is going to be tried. It's going to be stretched. We're going to have to believe that God is a miracle-working God. I go from, I'll tell you what, doubt and unbelief. I have to confess, I look at this nation and go, man, is it ever going to get? Are we ever going to get where we're supposed to be? And it's darkest before the light. Amen. I remember a couple of years ago when I was when the election happened for President Trump, I was sick. I was up all night. So I was watching the results of the election. And I was watching Wolf Blitzer have a meltdown on national TV, international TV. He always says, welcome to everybody that's listening. So it's international TV. And I watched him fall apart. And I realized what a surprise it was that this happened. And then when you realize there's been two Supreme Court justices appointed that lean heavy conservative, you realize what's happening.
Amen.
That God is positioning and putting people in place to turn what has been devastation in this nation.
Yeah.
The blood of the innocent are crying out from the ground.
Yes, they are.
Alternate lifestyles are now celebrated. But there's a turnaround.
Amen.
And it's going to take some shaking. But God is positioning and putting into place, no matter what you think of who our president is or who this is or who that is, just know that behind the scenes, God is working. Amen. Why? Why is he doing it? Why does he care if a nation exists or doesn't exist? Because we are a light to this planet. God has chosen, for whatever reason, to save us from total destruction, which we've gotten pretty close to. Pretty close to. But the prayers of the righteous, the church is beginning to awake. Beginning to awake. And things are happening. And the devil's upset. But you hang in there. Remember from where you came. And remember, more importantly, where you're going and what God is doing. And I encourage you, Hannah was sharing, man, God can use us all in those situations. Just be ready to give an answer to anyone that asks you of the hope that's within you, Peter says. Casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for the sharing. I thank you for the prophetic. I thank you for the prayers for Lexi. I thank you for Hannah's anointed sharing, God, and encouragement in our hearts, oh God. And Lord, this morning, we reiterate to you, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord, establish yourself in our midst. Come, wake in your church. Continue to shake us. Continue to test and give us trials, Father, so that we know who we serve and we know who we are in you. Thank you, Lord, for the good testimony that is ours. We're forever grateful to you, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, we're here. Love you so much.